Hare Krishna. So there was a point discussed. There was Sanjeevani program on Sunday, and Sanjeevani is meant for all doctors only. So Kamalachan Prabhu made a point in that lecture that Uttarakhand, Uttaranchal, is Tapobhumi. Everybody is supposed to go and become renounced and perform tapasya and do self-realization. And because people are now going there to enjoy, they want to have a retreat in an enjoyment mood. For example, I read in the newspapers that Bisleri, Pepsi, Lays, all those things are so much rampant over there. While people are supposed to do austerities there. So, what was little wrong in that, that he was laughing and answering the making the point. But it's a very serious point. It's a very grave and serious point. That if you go to a place which is meant for austerities, and you go and live your luxurious life over there. For example, you go in a Mercedes car there, and you rent a very posh apartment, and you have 5-star food in the hotel, and you Bisleris, and well, Bisleris are not bad, but that kind of culture, you know, that we don't have in Tapobhumi. It's an enjoyment mood. You go in helicopter, and you have VIP passes, and you have so many things. So, the mood of the place should make you humble and austere. And you want to perform tapasya and try to realize God. That should be the mood. But because people go in this kind of mood there. The road is expanded. Many hotels have come up. Lots of Punjabi, South Indian, this kind of foods have come there. This is not the mood of that place. So nature is responding to you in an absolutely adverse way. Because you are coming, it's like you are coming to my house. My house is a musical house. And you are playing disco there. And I am a classical musical person. And you are coming and doing disco in my house, then I will throw you out of the house. Like that, the nature in that place is supposed to be in the mood of austerity. To provoke you, to inspire you to be more austere. Give up your luxurious life in Bombay and Delhi and Madras and come there to live a simple life and chant Hare Krishna and listen to the holy people speaking holy discussions. Well, exactly opposite things are happening. The point is correct. Huh? Yeah, so majority of them are not devotees now. Only some of them are devotees. Hare Krishna people go in a different mood. They actually perform austerities and they hear whole day, chant whole day, go to river, take bath, walk all the way, go to Bhimsen's Shila and the Vyas Dev's Gufa. People don't go there. People go there only Badrinath Darshan, Kedarnath Darshan and go. And that too it is explained in the papers that nobody walks these days. Everybody goes on horn or pony. Everybody walks on pony. So there are 5,000 ponies there. And then it is explained that all the greenery is eaten up by these ponies. So there is a natural eco-balance is disturbed. There is no more greenery being planted. Whatever greenery is there is uprooted by the animals. So the soil has lost its stability. Because of the completely, when they eat animals, they pull and eat. They don't just like your machine goes and cuts it like this. That way the animals don't eat. The animals eat like plucking up. When they pluck up, the upper layer of the earth is totally disturbed. You have to replant the greenery like we do in our garden here. If they eat again, you have to replant it so that again it grows. Then the road widening is so irrational and unscientific. And all that road widening only is falling down now. Unnatural road widening plus so much of surung and dynamites are there, all the stability of every mountain is lost. And basically we all should know that Kedarnath mountains, how they are formed. Kedarnath mountains are not formed of rock. Kedarnath mountain is formed only of dust, earth. It's gaad, we call it Marathi gaad, that means it's just earth only. Earth, matti ka bana hua. When the thing it flow and then it settled down and dried up and the Kedarnath mountains were formed. This is the historical or geographical reality. And in that when you put dynamites and put roads, make roads and all, it become further unstable. Plus the snow, plus the glaciers, all there are complicated factors are there. And what people have done, another reason why nature is responding so violently, because government, the environmental science tells you that you should not do any mining over there, you should not do any kind of dam should not be made over there. This is what the environmental scientists are telling. And they are strongly opposing. For example, Rohini Nandan Dev Bhavguna, he had done Amaran Uposhan there, not to make any dam in Himalayan range, including Piri Gadwal also. Piri Gadwal is not in Himalayan range. Piri Gadwal is on the foot of the Himalayan hills, where Rishikesh Haridwar is there. Because I have lived there for 1 year, so I know all these geographical details. So Piri Gadwal is just on other side. This is on that side, Himalayan range. And Piri Gadwal is also Himalayan, but on the other side. There also he had done Amaran Uposhan to stop making dam there. But they manipulated him and still got the dam made there. And now even that dam is broken up, overflowing, destroying all the villages. Similarly, what the government has done is, lawfully you cannot make any dam there, neither you can dig any mines over there. But they have bribed the government officers and got the permissions, and they have been drilling the mountains for mines. Because all of you may be not knowing or knowing that it has been found out now that all the mines in the world are getting empty because of the excavation is so rampant. Now they have found out that Himalayan mountains are fully studded with all this, in terms of mining. Yeah. Now everybody's eyes are in Himalayas, and the glaciers are melting because of global warming. So more and more land is being exposed. And now Germany and England and America are trying to put their flags there. If we have come here first, this is our land. Soon there is going to be a war to claim the Himalayan mountains, who is going to be there, and no man has gone up till now. They have reached in the difficult conditions and they have put their flag. And then they will start putting the borders and say this is our area, like that. Because they want to dig the mountain and take all the costly mine items. So India, what Indian government, Uttaranchal, what they have done is they have given this wrong kind of permissions, and they have dug the mountains enough now. So everything, all stability is lost. So they say what the reports have come, which government purposely ignored all these years. Now they are again coming up because the disaster has come up. So what they say is that this is just the beginning of the disaster. Next 5 years, much more disaster is going to take place. This is the prediction. And this year also, what happened is just the beginning. Still the rains are going to continue. And Monday the rains are again pouring like anything. And this is not rains, it's only cloud burst. Cloud burst means millions of liters of water falls at once. It's like I open the dabba and throw one laddu at you, and I throw the dabba only on you. How it will happen? It is totally different. So one cloud burst takes place now, maybe one small township can be destroyed instantly. People will just, they will not, houses, everything will be going. So point is, the point was discussed in a very laughing and joking manner. The point is very serious. That how nature responds when you disrespect the nature. How much a mother will tolerate the child's offenses to her? How much time? And then mother will get wild and then start slapping the child right and left. So they are saying that mother nature is now actually giving a warning to you that much worse can take place. So I see that number one is misusing the mother nature, mishandling her, misbehaving with her. And that is because of the road mining, I mean the mining in mountains and road makings in the mountains, one. Second is the, what I said just now, austerity point. That place of austerity, for example Vrindavan, if you do meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication here in Bombay, you will get one type of reaction. But if you do the same four things in Vrindavan, it will be different reaction. Because there is, the place is very intense. And if you do something like this over there, you will get multiple types of reactions than what you are expected to get here. That is true about not only Himalayas, it is true about Vrindavan. Why there is so much corruption in Vrindavan and so much of, disastrous situation in Vrindavan also. Because Vrindavan is meant for devotional service. And people are all dacoity, corruption, and everywhere there is all not wrong activities are going on. I don't want to go in details of UP activities and Bihar activities. But there are a lot of holy places there. And sometimes we feel that Vrindavan is more corrupt than in Bombay also. But Bombay's focus of corruption is somewhere else. And Vrindavan's focus of corruption is right in devotional service only. Wherever you go for devotional service, there only the corruption is there. Dakshina and Pandagiris and all, you know, where people go for devotion, there only the deep-rooted corruption is there. Here at least, builder is doing some corruption and it's a material activity and the corruption is there. There corruption has gone into devotional activity. Pandas have changed their moods and everything. Third thing I want to tell you is the how it is proved that the place of austerity, how it has become place of sense gratification. The local people are now looting the stranded pilgrims. The local residents are completely ragging them. You know, one rice and one roti and sabji ka thali, how much it costs there now? 1500 rupees. Four rotis and sabji are served for 1500 rupees there. Now, if you want to go from Uttarkashi to Rishikesh by car, they are charging 50,000 rupees. Can you believe this? Government is helpless. They are doing everything, but there is enough police standing there for doing corruption. If you are going on the way, somebody stopped and they wanted to go back because they understood something is going on wrong there. To turn, take a U-turn, the police took 2,000 rupees. Allowed to take U-turn. That kind of corruption is going on. Rickshaw fellows, food fellows, water fellows. He said each bottle of Bisleri is being sold for 150 rupees. Can you imagine this? So people are, and another thing is, all the people who are stranded over there, this is like, I would say still official rate. Mangta hai to le lo. Pani ka bottle available hai, 150 rupees. That is official. But there are robbers, and there are chor log wahan par bhi ikattha ho gaye, they are robbing people of their bags and of their things. Then people don't have a place to sleep, place to sleep, kuch bhi karne ko jagah nahi hai. Some most funny thing I'll tell you, the whatever land is remaining, the people have captured that land, locals, put up their tents and put up their tambus, and they're charging something like 100 rupees to pass urine and pass food. Because there's no ashram, no? All ashrams are finished, so people have no place to pass urine and stool. So they have captured the place and put up tents and charging 100 rupees to pass urine and stool. That means what is the local people's consciousness? They are Dhamvasis, they are from the holy place. But they are saying that loot them, exploit them completely, make the fullest benefit of the situation. That is their mood. While they are supposed to, I mean, what they should do is come to my house and sleep, you know, take your child to my house, my wife will take care of the children. Be comfortable, sir. We like to serve you. That is Dhamvasis' mood. Dhamvasis is always welcoming. What does Brijvasi mean? Always welcoming you, have difficulty, they'll allow you to use their toilet, they will give you roti, they'll give chas to you, ask questions to you, be comfortable. That is Dhamvasis' mood. But these Dhamvasis are totally out to ruin you. And they don't have any mercy. Who are stranded there? Some people are stranded there whose wife has been already flown in the river. Child already has gone in the river. He has seen with his own eyes his wife getting lost in the water. There are people there now who are like still enjoying their picnic over there. They are all frustrated because I am here but my wife and child already has gone in the river. God knows where God has taken them. So such people who are distressed emotionally and socially and financially and physically, to them they are looting. So you can imagine what will be God's reaction to them afterwards. And this has been seen. You know, when there was a Gujarat earthquake, when we were going, on the way to Gujarat only, there were dacoits coming and stopping the truck and diverting the truck to their own area. Those trucks were filled with cloth, filled with foodstuffs, filled with household items, filled with so many things, you know, blankets, chadars, beddings, tent materials, ready-made tents coming from abroad. They were filled with millions of rupees material in one truck. So there was a strategy. They would stand on the highway, show you guns and take the truck to their residential places. And then beat the driver and throw him away. Everywhere, wherever disaster was. Tsunami, the same thing was happening. The local, and even when Bhuj, I have seen with my own eyes, when buildings were going underground, local people were looting the cupboards which were in the buildings which was underground. Whatever government will come with bulldozers and excavate those places, then cupboards will come out, lockers will come out. So immediately local guys will jump, break the lockers, take the money. Local guys have looted State Bank of India there. Nirmal Gandhi, everybody will run away, na? So they barged in, broke the lockers and took millions of rupees away from their keys. That is the mood of people. There is no devotion, there is no faith, nothing. Yeah. You know, Shurina, that Bhaktirasam Maharaj and Shyam Krishna Prabhu, my friend, who is no more now, they got a severe accident in Koshi. Koshi is the entrance of Rajbhumi from Delhi side. There were very severe head-on collision and they were seriously wounded and they were almost unconscious. But the first thing people did, they robbed them of their pockets. First thing. Before even doing anything. They just put their hands in pocket, everything they took out. And Maharaj was just standing because Maharaj said, I will die maybe. So much accident was there. Fractures on the zygoma, all his bones were fractured and fully with blood, drenched with blood. Two people were on two sides and everybody gathered and they were just looting them first. Driver ko bhi loot liya, unhone inke bhi pocket se paisa nikal liya, mobile wala sab cheez le liya. So this is people's mood. So what do you think God will do? God will react, na? And miss. Yeah. So we have to get a message that we are living in which kind of world? We cannot keep on planning to keep on living in this world happily. You have to know that this is not a place for us to live. Become more serious in Krishna consciousness, because tomorrow if I go with my family and with all of you to Badrinath, same thing will happen. Amazingly, all devotee parties have come back from Badrinath. In the month of May, they did Yatra. 3-4 parties I know, they came back. And they came back and then June they started all these things. And it's still going to happen. Me and my wife, family are watching every day the YouTube in the computer. 4 floors, 5 floors, ashrams are just falling in the river like toys, you know. Just like toys, because they have been built all in the reclaimed lands. Not natural land, they have just filled up and they have extended and they have broken the... And 4 floors buildings have been raised. They are just falling because the earth is... Okay, then a bhuskalan. What do you call it in English?
Landslide.
Not landslide. The land only goes... what do you call it? Lights, na, puri. Glacier is different. Glacier gets detached and it just starts flowing. But land only gets lost. So cars parked are going in the river because the car parking, the earth is falling off. So all the cars, one after another, are falling. One Shiva temple and Master temple fell in the river and is flowing in the river. So many ashrams have just fallen off. Some people were escaping in buses, and the way the bus was traveling, the land only fell down. So with the land, the bus went in the river. And then mountain peaks are falling off, as it is falling off like toys, you know. It's amazing to see. I can't believe this. 4 floors ashram just fell down like a toy in the river. And it is flowing. The river is so powerful that the 4 floor building is nothing for the river. The river is studded with many vehicles and buses and ashrams and buildings and tents and what not. Ending in down on the ground first. Yeah, Haridwar and Rishikesh will come. From there it will go to whatever track the Ganges is flowing. So there are bodies found in Rishikesh and Haridwar. What does that mean? Bodies must have flown. And there were so many bodies must be there on the track. There are 20 tributaries of Ganga with different names which come and they join and all. So the valleys are sometimes 10,000 feet deep. The valleys. And all this is falling in the valley of so many kilometers deep. So what is given in scriptures as a description of Kali Yuga is a fact. All things are going to get destroyed. Now even people who are sense enjoyers, who want to go there as a picnic to see the beautiful nature, they also will not go there. At least next year they will not go, even next year they will not go. It's like that. I mean, who will take risk, na? Because the month of May you go, there's a heavy snowfall there. Month of June you go, the snowfall turns into rains. And now the rain will turn into storm and total destruction. Even otherwise, when we went in 1887, first time with Radhanath Maharaj, I remember taking bath in Jamunotri. It's not river, it's just a waterfall where Jamunotri is beginning, Jamuna is beginning. It is becoming river after some time. The waterfall settles down and then becomes river. And then it goes like this, like this. So, we were held with two people and we just got dipped in the water and we came out. If the hand which I am holding, if I leave, I will be nowhere. There is no rescue people there. Expert swimmers and divers with tires and all. No use there because it is flowing with 100 kilometers per hour. And that would like fall, it's flowing. It's not flowing as a river. So you can row boat also, nothing is like that. It's all mountainous area. And when I took bath and I came out, my body was like wood. And I was mopping my body, there was no sensation in the body only. So cold it was. Only because I was 20-year-old young boy, I could take it. You know, that cold and that. I had so much of enthusiasm in young age. But now, there's no question. Alaknanda is flowing on the ground level. It is like, only because it is flowing, it is water. If it stands, it will become ice. We would take dip and then we will take run and go to take bath in the warm kund, hot kund. Garam kund hai na Badrinath. We would take bath there. And then water we will stay for 15-20 minutes. And this was our 2-second dip. Pushing it will make you like ice only. So the whole bhumi, the Lord Himself took incarnation there, that Narayan, no? Narayan, Narayan Rishi, they perform tapasya there. So it is a place where we say in our katha that when Lord wants to tapasya, he goes to Badrinath. When Lord wants to eat, he goes to Jagannath Puri. When he wants to sleep, he goes to Srirangam. When he wants to do political, you know, administration, he goes to Dwarka. When he wants to play, he goes to Vrindavan. So that is a place where Lord wants to himself go and perform tapasya. He chooses to go there as an ascetic and to perform tapasya. Such a glorious place it is. All our ancient sadhus, including Vyasadeva and Narad Muni, they have performed tapasya over there. When Lord Ramchandra Lakshman had gone there in their exile. So everybody has gone and done tapasya there. When Radhanath Maharaj, you read his book, there are sadhus who are living for 800 years, 600 years, 500 years, are all there. Yogic practices they are doing. That is a place meant for that. So what has to be conveyed to the audience, even that day audience, that how this correlates with actuality, that has to be explained. Principle is good, if you tell it in a very light manner, then we will not understand. But it's a very serious matter. If you do, suppose, intoxication activities in colleges, for example, then it's become a disaster because the place of Vidya, you're supposed to become student and learn, but there you are going to take intoxication or illicit sex or gambling, then it's a disaster. Like that, the place of devotion, when there is corruption, then there is a disaster. It is said that when sinful activities are being performed in holy places, the holy place is a person, by the way. All of you know, na? Dham, all dhams are people. They just appear there as geographical situation that you and me see. But all dhams are people. They are devotees of the Lord. They serve the Lord in the form of dham. So it is said that that personality of a dham gets offended when people do anything else but devotional activity there. And then dham starts concealing its glories from the viewers. But at the same time, if some pure devotee goes to a dham and does devotional activity in the place, dham reveals its glories to all the viewers, all the coming people, because of the power of the devotion of the pure devotee at that place. So like that, if you go to Man Mandir, you have great vibrant atmosphere. Because His Holiness Ramesh Babaji Maharaj is performing 58 years of tapasya over there, performing his bhajan. So that place appears so vibrant, you know, the Radha Sarovar and that Ghebarban and Man Mandir mountain, it appears so vibrant. But you go to some other areas, there are famous for dacoits, dacoits villages. There also Krishna has performed pastimes. We don't feel anything over there. Because sinful activities go on there. Rupa Goswami explains that there are 660 billion places in Braj Mandal. where Krishna has performed pastimes. How many? 660 billion places where there are pastimes performed by the Lord. In Braj Bhumi, Mathura Mandal, where Jurassic Coast area is there. Which, what does that mean? It means every village in Braj must be a holy place. Must be a pastime place. Like for example, one village is there called Gendova. What is the village Gendova? Where Krishna had played with ball there. So the village is called Gendova. One village is called Palso, where Krishna told gopis that I will come day after tomorrow. Palso. It's called Palso. One place is called Brajwari, because that is the place where Krishna arranged Vajra to fall on the ground to stop the gopis from chasing behind him. So he dropped Vajra there and there was such a big sound that all gopis fell unconscious there. And his chariot Aguru Raja chased away. This is called Brajwari. And there is one place called Sinh. You know, S-I-N-H. That is the apabhramsha of Shigra. That is why he told, I will come immediately. I will come very soon. That place is called Sinh. So that there are two villages together called Sinh also. You can imagine now, there must be how many places where Krishna ate his lunch. This place called Akshayavat. No, there is one place called Akshayavat, where they actually hung their dabbas and they went to play. That what is still there, Akshayavat. And then there is Bhojan Thali, where he ate food. And then he played. There are so many unlimited villages. So, I mean, each and every place in Braj Bhumi, I would say each and every atom must be filled with pastimes. And by the way, we should know that there are some aprakat lilas and there are some prakat lilas. Prakat lila is Lord comes and manifests in his avatar. And aprakat lila is unlimitedly going on, whether you see or don't see. It is the eternal place of Lord's performing pastimes. So when the Lord has come and gone in his manifest lila, the lilas don't stop happening over there. There is eternal lila there. Even those who are pure devotees, you know, Premanjana, Churita Bhakti Vilochana, that kind of pure devotees, they see the lila happening today also. So what Lord performed, which is recorded by Vyasadeva.
I got lost in your lecture.
So when there is thank you. So every holy place is eternally loaded with continually happening pastimes. So people don't have any understandings, and they think that India is that place is so filled with all nature and ice and snow and rivers and so many things are there worth going and seeing. By the way, nice hotels are also there, nice Punjabi food also is available. So people go in that mood there. So this is a reaction for that. That has to be understood well by people. Whether you are educated or uneducated, you cannot misbehave with nature. You cannot misbehave with your mother for a long time. Something is going to go wrong very soon. So it's a great disrespect by human beings. Out of greed, the mother nature has been exploited to the brim, to the last possible extent. It's like how much a mother is very tolerant by nature. Mother is always very tolerant. Even if you kick on her face while feeding the baby, mother still tolerates. She'll hold the feet and she'll feed the baby. Mother is actually having by nature much more tolerant power. But how much more mother will be longer, she will be tolerant. So this is what is happening over there. And then the people who are living there, at least they are expected to have some bhavna of that place. See, we go to Vrindavan, what we generally expect, we want to see some real Brijvasis. You know? Who are those Brijvasis? We want to meet them. What qualities we have read in books? Are they available in somebody? You can see some things, some glimpse over there. We have heard that they never sell chas, they just distribute chas. So we went to Sudhya Kund and we experienced that, how people are putting up stalls and requesting people, please eat our chas, drink our chas, free of charge. So we feel that yes, what Vyasadeva's word, Vaishukadeva's word told in Bhagavatam is actually true. The remnants are so powerful, not to speak of the original situation. And then your devotion grows. So Dhamvasis are supposed to be very exemplary. And look at these Dhamvasis in the Himalayan area, what they are doing. Whoever it is, see, nobody can come. You are perfectly right, practically you are perfectly right. See, you cannot even go and stay as migrant in Dham unless you have some pious activities of past. See, you and me have a desire to go and stay in Vrindavan. but it's still not possible. It's not become possible till now that I will like to go and settle down there. Some of them have, Westerners have actually settled down there. That requires a lot of pious activities at your background, at your disposal. Then you can actually be successful in residing in dham. There are four kinds of dham vasis, no? One was taken birth there. Second is one was gone out from outside and settled down there. They taken birth somewhere else but settled down there. And there are some who are from there and they are like him themselves pilgrimages. Wherever they go, they create that mood of Braj or holy place, and then they make you feel that you are in their company in Braj only. So this is their second category maybe. But they are also dham vasis. Because unless Krishna sanctions, you cannot just put up your tent in dham. You have to reach there, you have to have a murta. After many, many years you can reach. It's not, the sanction is there. So they are dhammasis only, and they know all the glories of dham, and they have been told in childhood by their parents where we belong to, what is the place, and what are the past tense here, what happened over here. And you know, whatever names we are reading in newspapers today, every place is filled with past tense. Tarkashi, you can name Mansarovar, every Kedarnath, Badrinath, Gangotri, Yamunotri, Vyas Gupa, there are so many mountains are there filled with Lord's pastimes, Pandava's pastimes.
Badrinath is
also damaged. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you see the satellite pictures, no? You can't take any pictures on ground level. Ground is only water. Water pictures have come from satellite, and all muddy water, dark black color water is flowing everywhere. In and around all the ashrams and temples and everything. So, Kedarnath temples, fence which was made of late, not that Kedarnath temple making time. So, the fences are all gone. And Kedarnath ET is underwater already. And it's going to go on for another maybe month or so. The way the water is flowing, it's like ocean there actually. Which is a photograph, they're like ocean only. And we can not believe that it is a river. One Shiva Murti is standing in the water for a long time now. Flowing. But it is very heavy, so it is not moving so fast. And that has been shown everywhere in papers and TV and YouTube and everywhere. And some people who are atheistic, they are asking, where is your Lord now? Look at your Lord. He is already in the river. The river is throwing it away. So why? Because, you know, why these disasters are happening in India? Because our nation is supposed to be helping the world for developing devotion to God. And tell them what is self-realization, tell them what is austerity, tell them what is God, tell them what is how to connect with Him. The whole nation, government like Parikshit Maharaj and Yudhishthir Maharaj are supposed to help people who come here to make policies to help them to learn what is devotion to God. And then this government, instead of that, is fully engrossed in corruption. So India is under ruin because of that reason. When you lose your privilege, na, when God has given you a privilege, Suppose I give you 1 crore rupees and I teach you how to use the 1 crore rupees the way I want, and I see you completely misusing the money, then I will punish, no? Definitely. So I give such a big privilege to you, I totally misused it. First, apradhi vishwasghat, destruction of faith that I put on you is the biggest apradh than actually what you did with the money. You broke the faith and trust that was kept on you. Is one of the Mahapatakas, it is explained, is to break the faith, Vishwasghat. Even ordinarily, yeah? Not even God or something. If I trust you and you betray my trust, this is the biggest Mahapatak that you can do.
One question, like, it is expected, Kali Yuga, and Krishna wanted that Kali Yuga should come. So, like, Maharaj Parikshit was preventing Kali Yuga from entering. He actively got him doing this problem that he had to leave. So, but then, why does he expect that?
At the same time, he has also made the pathway to reach him very, 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 very easy, no?
Yeah, but majority will be like...
So those who come in Kali Yuga, all those demons take as birth as Brahmins in Kali Yuga. All those sinful people take birth as human beings in Kali Yuga. Deserve to be in such kind of environment. And there are some people who have realized their mistake and they are trying to become devotees of God, trying to go back to Godhead. But they are also sinful. We are also all also sinfully, by the way. Please understand that. We chant Hare Krishna now, but the fact that we are here today is a proof of our past sinful record. Otherwise, we would not be existing over here, if that was not so. The fact that we are in jail, that means we are a criminal. No? The fact that Sanjay Dutt is in jail, that means he has done some crime. That's why he is in jail. So, you can't say, no, I am not from jail. I am actually not from this place. But you are there, by the way. You are there. Get out of this place.
Preaching is all right. Like, we should try to preach. But trying to change the social system, like trying to implement Varnashram, etc. Because Varnashram was there, everything was there perfect. But this time, it is not going to work.
No, it's going to work. It is working, na? In your and my life, it's not working. Varnashram Dharma.
But it's
working.
In general,
so, what do sadhus do? Well, for example, Ramesh Babaji Maharaj. He only told us in Devi Bhagavat, it is said that Jamuna and Ganga will disappear in the course of time. And Dham will also disappear. Then why is he working hard to again put Jamuna back in purity and this and that? What is the reason? Scriptures are saying that they are going to get destroyed. And you say, hey, why to just interpreting God's plan? I know anyway it's going to get destroyed. Even if I do now, after some time it's going to get destroyed. But their idea is that they want to give you an experience of the real glory of Braj Bhumi. Those who are existing now, living entities who are aspiring to become devotees of the Lord, for their pleasure they want to create a live experience. That's why they are working so hard. And suppose they now renovate Bhagavad Jamuna Devi and becomes really pure. Next at least 500 years it will flow nicely. In the ocean of years of Kali Yuga, those 500 years whoever comes, they will get developed faith and will go back to God. That is their purpose. You may say, why Prabhupada went to America? Anyway, isn't Kali Yuga, it's all useless place and useless time. Why should we waste our time? Then why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in Kali Yuga? In that case, tell me.
What I was saying is that we can preach Krishna consciousness, but trying to change the social system or
it will change. If you have faith in the Lord's word, it will change. Like for example, Nityananda Prabhu said that after Gauranga Mahaprabhu will disappear, 100 full years, Antardvip will be covered with water of Ganga. Ganga will just cover and, will put a veil on the eyes of the people. Nobody will know what Antardvip is. And after 100 years, Nityananda Swami Prabhu said that again Ganga will recede and then great souls will come and reveal the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and there will be a Adbhut Mandir will come in that place.
So actually Ganga was there, had covered that.
Yeah, 100 years will disappear. Why Vishnu Priya's temple is in Koladvipa? Why we go to Koladvipa today? To see Vishnu Priya's temple, because Ishan Thakur, who was the servant of Vishnu Priya, who served her along with another Thakur, Vansipadan Thakur. When Vansipadan Thakur knew this the prophecy made by Nityananda Prabhu, because Vansipadan Thakur had received Nityananda Prabhu also in the house of Jagannath Mishra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was there, Nityananda Prabhu and other great souls had visited house of Jagannath Mishra n number of times. Then Jagannath Mishra left. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left. Then Sachit Mata left. Then Vishnu Priya also left at 96 years of age. At that time, Vansipadan Thakur, knowing this prophecy, shifted that deity of Dhameshwar Gauranga Mahaprabhu to Koladvipa, knowing well that Ganga is going to cover up this place. So,
now,
which place
is there that was called the Ganga?
Now what we see Yogpeet is recovered by Thakur Bhakti.
No, but it had been underwater for 100 years.
Underwater. And then it was revealed by the mercy of Jagannath Babaji, physically by Thakur Bhakti Vinod. And then in 1902, Bhakti Vinod Thakur put a temple there by begging one rupee in his house. And in 1936, Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta again did renovation. What you see now is Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta's hard work. And there the murti of Thakur Bhakti Vinod was established by Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta.
Like in previous ages, either Lord himself used to come or the great sages, they would be actively interested in social welfare or administration. Like they used to see that a proper thing is there. But when Mahaprabhu comes, he just doesn't take care of that. All demons were there, but he doesn't interfere in political system. He just and he doesn't.
But Lord Krishna was fully involved in political system, no?
Yeah, but
or not? Dwarka and Hastinapur was fully involved in politics.
But he wanted that they should not disturb Sankirtan, but otherwise their atrocity was going on. But he didn't interfere in that. So
No, he just, what happens when a magnet comes? And you have mixed earth everywhere here. The magnet comes, what happens? All the ion particles are separated from the earth and the magnet takes the ion particles away. Like that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a big magnet, Maha magnet. So all those who are devotionally inclined, just attracts everybody and takes them back to Godhead with them. The rest all keep suffering over here. Like Duryodhan, Lord came and immediately in Rajasuya Sabha of the Lord, all Dronacharya, Bhishmacharya, everybody was attracted, you know, by the Virat Rupa that Lord showed. But at the same time, Duryodhan's envy increased. He said he's a magician. Arrest him immediately. So it is explained that when Lord comes, now, when Lord comes, if you are a demon, your demonic nature becomes enhanced out of envy. If you are a devotee, your devotion gets enhanced. Because as soon as Lord was exhibiting his Virat Rupa, Duryodhan's envy became magnified like anything. He just didn't remain cool. Forget it, yeah. Who cares for him? No, he said, arrest him right now. So his demonic nature also magnified when he saw the Lord. So Lord does that business. So we say, okay, what is the Lord's power? He could not convert Duryodhan into a devotee. You can say that. The basic reason is because Lord doesn't interfere in anybody's independence. Even if I choose tomorrow to stop my devotional activities, what Lord will do? Say, okay, fine, this is your choice. Doesn't force you. It's not Lord's lack of power. It's a lack of our will. That's all. As soon as Duryodhan would have said, okay, thank you very much. If Ravan would have said, I'm sorry, take your wife back. Suppose, imagine. Ravan immediately gets a realization that I'm doing wrong thing actually, you know. What Lord will do? Lord already declared, I will immediately accept you. If Lord said that if Ravan comes now, I'll forgive him, give him shelter, protect him from all the calamities of material life. So Lord's business is very clear. Lord is very clear what he wants to do. There's no confusion in his mind. But he wants to still attract people, like a magnet attracts some ion particles, you know, to attract people. We call it a claim, na? It's a reclamation land. We claim land from ocean. Like that, he wants to claim souls from the material world, back home, back to God. So his mission is very much there. So did you get the explanation of that? I just didn't like that he was laughing and talking about the matter, no? What that austerity part of the story. It was a very serious matter actually.
So how to, what is
common? Common man is that you cannot misbehave with holy places like this. One, you cannot behave with mother nature like this, whether it is Satara or Kullapur or holy places. Can't misbehave with Mother Earth. So now they are talking about the Sahyadri Mountains of Maharashtra. The same things have been done by government of Maharashtra also. Same digging mines and all this is also going on. So they are saying ki now will Maharashtra government learn the lesson from Uttaranchal that they can stop all these things and stop the destruction. Thinking that, oh, it's not going to be us, it's going to be only Uttaranchal. It's not going to be like that. Wherever you misbehave with nature. But more so it happens when Mother Nature is in a holy place. But there everything becomes totally spiritual. Mother Nature's behavior becomes very spiritual. It's already spiritual, but it's not realized by us. But Mother Earth, Vayudev, Indra, Varuna, Chandra, all these demigods, they become very spiritually oriented and they create spiritual atmosphere by their powers in holy places. Read Bhagavatam now, how mist is created by Vayu and how rivers give all the misty situations. Now Vayu comes in and takes the mist away. Now the flowers give their pollens which are fragrant and all this together the wind blows towards where Krishna and cowherd boys are playing and how it going Sheetal, Manda and Sugandhit. These three benefits, effects are created by Vayudev for the pleasure of the skin of the Lord and his devotees. That means their behavior is little different in other places than in holy places, right? It is said all seasons, they are people, they are persons, all six seasons. They come in fullest of their glories. अभी मैं घूमने जा रहा हूँ तो सारा पैसा लेके जाते हैं, सो दैट माई फैमिली शुड बी वेरी हैप्पी नाउ. दे गेट ब्रिंग ऑल देयर एसेट्स एंड ऑल देयर रिसोर्सेज टू प्लीज द लॉर्ड बाय क्रिएटिंग अ सिचुएशन विच इज वेरी प्लेजरेबल टू द लॉर्ड.
Giving special service to the Holy Dham.
Hmm.
If you visit to the Holy Dham nowadays.
You too, Badaram, this time talking about when Krishna was there. So right now I made a statement that when people commit sinful activities, the Dham starts concealing its glories. It will appear like ordinary place to you, with kitchen and with gutters and with sewers and all animals going around. What does that mean? It means now the holy place has concealed its glories to you. Now it's no more Vrindavan, it's only a commercial place where people are making money. So when we go and sit with the pure devotee, what happens? Sit with the pure devotee, what happens? In his presence, the glory of that place in the middle of all this dirt is revealed. So at least that much time. That is why it is mentioned that we have to associate with holy people in holy places. So that in their company at least, the hidden glory of the holy place will be revealed to you. Otherwise, the holy place today is going to appear to you like Bombay and Delhi only. It's nothing great. All crowds and people cheating and robbing and pickpockets and daru and illicit sex, eating gomas. All those things are rampantly going on in Vrindavan. So you will say, what is this holy place? I don't see any holy thing over here. But that holy thing will be revealed in front of only the company of pure devotees. That's why we go with a pure devotee. Or at least I would say a sincere devotee, if not a pure devotee. That is who is sincere in his devotion, if not at the moment of time a pure hearted soul. So like that it is. And plus, those who are Nastics, na, if they had any inclination to go to Badrinath and Kedarnath any time in life, that's destroyed now. Because the situations are such, the world and want to take risk. Anyway, wanted to go enjoy there, my enjoyment is guaranteed it's not going to be there. So I will also not go there. Devotees will still attempt to go and worship the Lord there, taking the risk because of devotion, and Lord will still protect them. But the activities and the happenings over there will further push non-devotees away from the holy place. And it may just become a deserted place after some time, who knows. Or again a pure devotee's mercy, again it will be, glory will be revealed and again people will start taking the benefit. But no dhamvasis are teaching the yatris about the glories, and no dhamvasis are teaching about the principles of devotion to the yatris. All dhamvasis are busy in making money from the yatris who are coming there. While dhamvasis are meant to welcome you, in Nashik also I was told in childhood, this is the fact when I was a child, not much far now from now, maybe hardly 40 years behind, there were situations in Nashik, my father would tell me that you go to a panda's house, the panda will free of charge host you, feed you, take you to the holy places and don't expect anything from you. And people also were so religious, they would donate to them abundantly and they would survive like that. There was no business. Now if you go, the panda will say, my charges are 500 rupees for Shraddha. My Shraddha charges are so and so. And you, like that, the business has come up. But actually my father has experienced a situation for my grandmother's Shraddha, that there were pandas known. My father would go regularly for his sister event, his mother event, that they would really host you. You stay in their house 3 days, 4 days, completely your 4-5 people, they will feed you. They will, all the rituals they will perform for you. They take you to the river and do all the rituals and give prasad to you. And plus then after the rituals are done, they will take you to the holy places. Aram Mandir and Adbhut, all this Sundarland Mandir and Tapovan and everything, tell the pastimes to you. And then they'll say bye-bye to you. And then you will do darshana to them. It is not far from now. That is Dhamvasi's duty. Selflessly one should serve the visitors because they are great people. They are leaving their homes and coming to your holy place. So Dhamvasi should feel responsible that they are coming to our holy place. I should really enliven them, guide them, enrich their spiritual lives and make their pathways back to Godhead very easy for them by just being with me. I feel that's my job, my responsibility. And in turn, whatever Krishna and whatever they give me, I am okay with it. I am not saying, why only give 500 rupees to me? I did work job of 2000 rupees to you. They will not say that. They have faith. I am sincere. because the government system who are protecting the Brahminical culture, they just stopped protecting Brahmanas. Then Brahminical people become restless, insecure, and they start charging you. Then Raja Chhatra, that means the umbrella of the king, was taken away from you. Then you become on the road, and then you are how to survive. Then you have to start charging for your services. Like I am giving free lectures now, for example. I don't charge for my lectures. But suppose the time comes that I don't have salary, I don't have job, and to survive, then I may say that my lecture will charge 5 rupees per person, whatever. I don't know how much I will charge. But the situation will force me, maybe. And there is no Raja Ashraya, or there is no Ashraya like that. And then also it is an offense to sell God's things, God's knowledge. You know, whatever God has given you, if you start charging it, when you give people, then there is a big punishment for you. They said you should not do any business in the holy places. You should not settle down in the holy places without doing any business for earning livelihood. It's an offense of dham aparad. So people go there and earn their livelihood doing that thing. It's like that.
Now number of people died in the temple only. Last time, in the last moment they took shelter in the temple only. But these people, whether we should consider they are fortunate, at least they have died.
It's a very simple understanding. Good question. But I'll tell you a simple answer to it. What Krishna says, yam yam vapi svaran bhavam tyajyate ante kalevaram. Whoever has died thinking of the Lord, they have gone back to Godhead. Very fortunate. Whoever has died in the fear of money and loss of life and something else, they have gone somewhere else. See, whether you die in holy place or whether you die in Bombay, if you think of Krishna, you will go back to Godhead. By the way, dham helps you favorably think of the Lord. If you are favorably predisposed, then dham will add its favoritism to you and give you memory of the Lord, and you may go back to Godhead. But everyone who dies in dham may not necessarily go back to Godhead, provided his consciousness is not there in the Lord. You have to understand the basic guideline. One guideline is there, if you die in dham, you will go back to Godhead. But not everybody who is sinful in the dham will go back to Godhead. You have to think of the Lord. So if those thousands of people who are dying over there or will die in future, few of them are thinking of the Lord and praying to the Lord, they are really devoted, they will all go back to Godhead. But maybe fear is most predominant in their life now. So once you die in fear, then you don't go back to Godhead. Die in love only, you go back to Godhead, you know. No, accident led also, if somebody is Krishna conscious, then you will go back to Godhead. For example, Damar Krishna Maharaj just attended Mangalarti in the Mayapur temple, and within 15 minutes he dashed against a car and in seconds he died. There was no death care, there was no kirtan, there was no Ganga Jal, and there was nothing for him. So what explanation is there for that is, some people were already continuously highly Krishna conscious, whether they die in accident, whether they die in a long cancer-like illness, it doesn't make any difference for them. And Lord Krishna does arrangements as per person's needs. Somebody needs kirtan and Ganga Jal and all kind of end of life care situation, Lord arranges for him. If he's a devotee and he loves him. And somebody who doesn't need all these things, they will die in an accident. That our devotional, what about us? The answer is that whatever our devotional consciousness is, will decide what's going to happen to us. Our job is to develop that consciousness, like Damar Krishna Maharaj. So that any time we may die, we should go back to Godhead. In that preparation, Damar Krishna Maharaj was successful in doing that preparation. So Prabhupada called him instantly. There was no need of 8 months cancer and 9 months of end of life here. While someone else may undergo a long procedure and association and service to the world, and then finally association of devotees, singing kirtan, holding Govardhan Shila in hand, and may leave the world. Nothing is good or bad in comparison. But what I am trying to say is, you have to be, message is only one, you have to be highly Krishna conscious. And Damar Krishna Maharaj's story was like this, that Prabhupada always used him for emergency services. Always. He just pulled him from Bombay to California, and California to London, and this and that. Leaving, drop it and come there immediately. So Dham devotees said, there was no surprise that Prabhupada must have called him instantly back to Godhead, whatever services he wanted from him. So not So those people who knew Tamal Krishna Maharaj well, and those who knew Prabhupada's relation with him, they explained that it was not surprising the way Prabhupada called him. The way he used to call him while he was here, the same way he called him there, when he went through.
So, last question. Can you say that because of the sinful activities, all the Ramas, they are withdrawing their glories?
Yes.
But still you advocate visiting the Dhamma?
Yeah, because we advocate visiting the holy places with all of you by first creating your consciousness, how to visit, orienting you well, and then trying to put water and fertilizer in your developed consciousness, which we have tried to incorporate with devotees. We are encouraging you to go not like people the way they have gone. We are encouraging to go, we send letters to you, we orient you, we call you here, prepare your mind, prepare the paper to you and prepare your consciousness. We'll go welcome lecture there to create your mood, then we'll talk to the holy places, about the holy places to all of you, so that we want to give you the holy place in the right manner. I have rabdi to give you, but I also have pot to give you, in which to eat. I'm not having, I have one little rabdi, start opening your hand and start eating. It's very difficult, it's possible, but it's very difficult. But if I give a nice pot to you, nice spoon to you, you will enjoy rabdi very nicely.
There are many places where God has performed leelas.
Now, is this clear point clear to you before we go to the next point? That we are still encouraging you to go to holy places, but in inverted commas, in the right consciousness. Not the way everybody is going and exploiting the holy place. That's not the way we are trying to take it.
So that when you are visiting to places where Lord has performed leelas, okay, there might be some remnants, either in the form of some stones or anything.
Places,
right. So suppose you are not feeling any vibration. That means what we should, how our reaction.
We don't feel any vibrations, then we should have faith in the words that we hear. It's like a sick man, you give him cane juice, it tastes bitter to him. But by theory he knows it is sweet by nature. I am sick, that's why it is bitter to me. That much also understand, you get the benefit. You get my point? I gave you sweet cane juice. Proper organic sweet cane juice I gave you. It is tasting very bitter to you. And the doctor has told you, you have jaundice and you will not taste it sweet. So by theory at least you know, because I am diseased, it is tasting bitter to me. But actually it is sweet. So when will that day come? When I will taste it as sweet as it is.
I am asking because suppose okay, now our senses are not working at that perfect level.
So we keep going. The treatment is we keep going there. Keep visiting there regularly and purify our soul, and one day that loving devotional sentiment will arise from our heart.
Like Radha Raghunath Maharaj, we have heard from Mahamandra, from the river, like same thing.
That nobody can guarantee. We cannot, you know, it's like without being qualified for that much revelation, we can't expect that revelation.
That much height we need to achieve.
Not necessary, Prabhuji. Everybody may not have to listen to Gangaji telling the Hare Krishna Mantra. Which other Swami in ISKCON has heard like that? That means they all are below Radha Maharaj. It's not like that. Point is that somebody has some extraordinary revelation, but that doesn't make him extraordinarily great or doesn't make others extraordinarily low than you. See, everybody's devotional sentiment and connection with Lord is individual. So the Lord may individually give him very different experiences, and Indradhanu Maharaj may in his tours may get some different experience which Radha Maharaj may not have got. You know, everybody is an individual, so like every gopi is different, like every guru is different, every pure devotee is different. Ramesh Babaji's mood is totally different. Radha Maharaj's mood is totally different. So they are the best of friends and best of saints. But we don't have to aim that I will also one day go to Ganga and Ganga will, I will hear the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That kind of expectation or dream. What you should expect is spiritual purification. In his case, the spiritual purification was awarded to him by hearing the sound of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In your case, in some different way Ganga will award you purification, provide our mood is in proper shape. What we generally try to do in our conditioned life is to expect something which is we already read or heard somewhere. It cannot happen to me. like Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj was saying in the last days that I am seeing a chariot. It has already come for me. So you may think, yeah, I also will see chariot in the end of my life. Bhakti Siddhanta Swami, BTS. So I will start saying, thinking, oh, my day will come, I also will see chariot coming. It may not be necessary.
This is just giving example.
Yeah. Example is like that, so I am saying, the answer to that is that the fantasy kind of situations may not be there in everybody's life. In his life it happened. Because he took that kind of risk, all the way hitchhiking and so many things he did. So maybe Lord has revealed to him something which is worthy for his endeavor that he did. Maybe if we do the kind of endeavor, Lord feels convinced, he will give that to us also. But that kind of expectation should not be there. Because it is going to frustrate you. We don't get that. Frustrating
thing. Maharaj, in one lecture you said that before experiencing any of such bliss, primarily this thing is that we have to surrender to our Guru.
Wait, I care. I mean, the price that he has paid, na, Prabhuji, that we should be ready to pay. Then, whatever miracle Lord wants to show you, he will show you, or may not show you, but are we ready in the path of surrender? Are we ready to surrender in basic things that we are supposed to do? We are struggling on that also. So we have to first, you know, go to first standard, then dreaming for PhD degree. So go to first standard, second standard, first standard. So thank you Prabhuji for coming, and the mystery of the holy places are quite deep. What holy places do, even actually in the last line I'll want to make, whatever is happening now also now, is the mercy of God only, by the way, please understand. It is not punishment or something. When a mother slapped the child for robbing pencil from neighbor's house, it is not mother's cruelty, it is never ever cruelty, it is only love. Appearing in a form of slap because of mother's child's misbehavior. But when child behaves well, the mother cooks nice sweets also for him. What about that? So today Mother Earth is behaving in a way out of mercy only, to teach lessons to her dear children for misbehaving.
But if who suffered there, at least
whoever has done bad karma, they are suffering there. Please understand that. Whoever has done
all died there.
I told you, now, those who died thinking of Krishna, they will go back to Godhead. Those who died in fear, they will not go back to Godhead. Those who came there to exploit Mother Nature, they will not go back to Godhead. Simple, the law of karma is in one way simple and one way complicated. The way you go, that way you get response. If I go to exploit, I get that kind of response. If I go to serve you, I go this kind of response. You, when you get in your house, some guests are coming to just exploit you, you know who are they. Some guests who come to your house, you know, they love you know who are they. And your behavior to those who love you are different. Your behavior to those who come to exploit you is different. Is it not true? Like that, Lord is much more intelligent than all of us. To find out who comes for devotion and who comes for exploitation. Okay. Thank you so much.